Lord, even as we just stand before you today, we want to declare how glorious you are, how wonderful you are,
yes,
Lord Jesus, in all of your beauty and all of your majesty.
Yes,
we thank you for your kindness and your goodness and your grace. Lord, and I just hear your word that you said through Zechariah to Zerubbabel, that the hand of Zerubbabel had begun and laid the foundation, and the hand of Zerubbabel would finish the work, and he would bring forth the capstone thereof, crying, grace, grace to it. That everything that you will do, Lord, everything that will be done through us, it will be done because of your grace. That we will be to the glory and to the praise of your glorious grace, Lord. The praise of your glorious grace. I thank you for it. We just adore you. We just worship you. Would you just maybe just lift your hand and just Lord, we just want to declare to you, we love you. We adore you. We praise you. We say that everything that's of any value in us and through us is to the praise of your glorious grace. It's to the praise of your glorious grace. Lord, you will bring forth the capstone. You will bring it forth, crying, grace, 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 grace to it. 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 Thank you, Lord. And I'm hearing the Lord say this morning that some of you are facing challenges that seem like huge walls and even mountains. And the Lord says to you, just began to cry, grace, grace to it. Just began to cry, grace, grace to it. The Lord says, as you cry, grace, grace to it, that the mountain will begin to melt, that it will begin to crumble before you. Even as you cry, grace, grace to it. For the Lord said, you have warred with it and you have wrestled with it. But the Lord says, now is the time to cry, grace, grace to it. And even as you cry, grace, grace to it, says the Lord, that mountain will begin to fall. That mountain will begin to be removed. And that way that has been blocked for you shall begin to open up, says the Lord. And you will pass through into the purpose and the destiny that the Lord has ordained for you. For the Lord says, in this day and in this time, I am releasing grace, 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 grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. You can be seated. Thank you guys so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grace, grace to it. Grace, grace to it. See, what I sense in the Spirit is some of us are weary. Some of us are tired. And you say, Lord, I can't fight much longer. The Lord says, you don't have to. Just cry, grace, grace to it. Just cry, grace, grace, debt. And watch the Spirit of the Lord begin to melt it away. For it will not be by might, it will not be by power, but it will be by my Spirit, says the Lord. For the Lord says, my people have been working very hard, but I'm coming in this season, and I'm bringing them grace. We adore you, Jesus. And that which has stood against us will melt at his presence. The mountains will melt at his presence like wax before him. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I receive that for myself. I receive that into my own life. The Lord is so good. He is so kind. I was listening. I read an article just the other day on Facebook that said the thing about grace is it's always unexpected. That we look
for judgment, but we're surprised by grace. Just like the prodigal son, he came back just begging, going to beg the father, just let him be a servant. And the father surprised him by grace. He came back to ask for mercy, but instead got grace. Because, see, grace restored him completely and gave him back everything that would have been lost. All he wanted was just mercy from the father, but the father gave him grace. And this writer actually said, grace always is always a surprise to us because we know we don't deserve it. And so I thought, wow. Well, this morning, thank you so much. I love coming here every year and being with Pastor David and Kathy and the whole house here and getting to be apart for just a little bit. And I always glean when I'm here. And I want to talk to you this morning about prayers that causes God to remember. Prayers that cause God to remember. Because being remembered by God is a very powerful thing. The very powerful thing. I'm just going to share a few scriptures here with you, and then we'll kind of get into the very depths of it as much as we can today. Isaiah 43:26. He says, "Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted." And so God literally tells us to put him into remembrance or to cause him to remember us. And then when he says, let us contend together, that doesn't mean he's fighting against us or we're trying to convince him. How many of you know prayer is not trying to convince God to do something for you? Prayer is coming into an agreement with God for that which he desires to become reality in the earth. See, we think my prayers is me trying to convince him that I have a wrong idea about prayer in the first place. Because he says he knows the things he knows what we have need of before we ask. So when I come to pray, I'm not trying to convince God. I'm not wrestling with God in the sense of trying to convince him. So when he says, let us contend together, he means let you and I together move everything in the spirit world that's hindering my will from being done. See, because the reason that the will of God is not being done in the earth is because there's something out of whack in the spirit realm that's not letting it get done. So he says, come, let us contend together, let us work together, let us agree together, let us wrestle together against that in the spirit world that needs to be moved so that what I intend to happen in your life can actually occur. Because I'm not trying to convince God, I'm working together with God to shift things in the realm of the spirit for his will to be done. I hope that makes sense to you. That's prayer, okay? So he says, put me in remembrance, let us contend together. And then he says, state your case that you may be acquitted. Now, that's legal language. And see, if anybody knows anything about our ministry, I'm primarily known for teaching on the courts of heaven, how to come before God as judge. Because one of the aspects of prayer is coming before God as judge and presenting cases before him, bringing our petitions that allows him then the legal right to render decisions and judgments in our behalf. Okay, so that his passion can be done in the earth. So we have to know how to come into that judicial setting. And one of the ways we do that is by putting him in remembrance. So it's put me in remembrance, state your case that you may be acquitted. So putting him in remembrance is just like a lawyer coming and making his case before a judge. That's what you're doing. You are presenting your case and you're causing God to remember things that he tells us we need to cause him to remember so that what is to happen can begin to occur. Okay, so putting God in remembrance is a very powerful thing. Now, we would say, well, God knows all things. And yes, he does. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows all things. But so putting him in remembrance is not telling him something he doesn't know. Okay, that's not what putting him in remembrance is. Putting him in remembrance means this. It means that he comes into a place where he regards us and is ready to move in our behalf. Let me give you an example. In Noah's days, in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says that Noah was in the ark, the water was over everything, God caused a wind to begin to blow, but he says he did all of this, why? He says he remembered Noah, and God remembered Noah. Okay, this is what I always like to say. He and his family are the only people on the earth. How could he forget them? I mean, how can you forget the only people alive? Well, see, so obviously we realize that God remembering Noah did not mean he was aware of him.
He was aware of him, just like he's aware of us. So God remembering is not saying he becomes aware. He knows all things. God remembering means he begins to regard us and is ready to move in our behalf. Because that's what happened with Noah. The moment he, quote unquote, remembered Noah, he sent a wind. Everything began to come into order so that everything that needed to happen could happen so that Noah and could come out of the ark and creation could begin again the process. But see, the point was God remembered him. He regarded him. He began to move things or cause things to move in his behalf. So when God remembers you, that means that thing you've been waiting on starts to happen. It starts to move. Okay, let me give you another one. God remembered Rachel. Rachel was a wife of Jacob. Is that right? Isaac. Jacob. Oh, he was. Jacob and Rachel. Jacob and Rachel. And so he remembered her. Genesis 30. Verses 22 through 23. It says, then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb, because she was barren. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. How many of you know Rachel had been barren for a long time? She had been crying out to God, crying out to God, crying out to God, praying to God, seeking God, warring against the other situations in her life, all these kind of things. But it says that, watch this, and God remembered Rachel. In other words, it appears there came a day when all of a sudden God regarded her and began to move in her behalf. It says God remembered her, and it says, and God listened to her. So the point is, the moment God remembers her, all of a sudden those prayers you have been praying for a long time begins to have an effect. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That we pray prayers, but then all of a sudden one day, and maybe we can't even explain why, God remembers us. He just remembers us. And all in our prayers, maybe the same words you've spoken 100 or 1,000 times, they touch something in the spirit world. And everything starts, and you know it. You can feel it. You're like, I don't know what happened, but something happened. Why? Because God remembered. God remembered. And barrenness starts to be broken off. See, one of the problems in the body of Christ, or one of the frustrations in the body of Christ, is a sense of barrenness. See, in Isaiah 56, God said to the eunuch, don't say, I'm a dry tree. In other words, out of your frustration, don't confess. This is very, very significant. Don't confess that you're fruitless out of your frustration. See, we do this all the time. He said, I'm going to give you a name better than that of sons and daughters. And he said, and I'm going to give you an everlasting name that will not be cut off. Now, a eunuch had no ability to propagate the family line. In other words, the family line would die with him because he had no ability to see children be born, right? Now watch this. God said, I'm going to do something with you people that feel fruitless and therefore frustrated. I'm going to do something so supernatural that I'm going to give you an everlasting name. In other words, you that think you don't have a legacy, I'm going to give you a legacy. You're going to become so fruitful that not only will the generation you're in be blessed, watch, but the generations to come will be blessed. See, that's fruitfulness. When the generations after us are blessed because we existed and lived. I say, God, that's what I want. I don't want to just have an effect now. Let my life, let our family's life, let it have an effect for generations to come. I actually ask God this. I say, God, let my house be like Cornelius. Let us be a gate through which you touch the nations of the earth. Let my house be as the house of Cornelius. I'm not asking for me to be known. I'm asking that through our house, that we will be a portal through which the nations of the earth could be affected. What's God? What does that mean? That means let us be fruitful, that there be increase that comes. Number three, God remembered his children in bondage. Exodus 2, verse 23 through 25. The Bible says that the king of Egypt died. The children of Israel began to groan under hard bondage.
They cried out. The cry came up before God because of the bondage. And then it says, and God heard their groanings and remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he looked upon the children of Israel and God acknowledged them. That whole process started because God remembered his covenant because of the groanings of the children of Israel. We'll come back to the covenant thing in just a moment. But the groaning, see, I think it's Psalms 8. He says, for the sigh of the needy, I will rise up and move. Do you know God hears your sigh? Sometimes all you can do is just go. But if you do in faith, not despair, faith. If you sigh in faith, God says, for the sighing of the needy, I will arise and move. See, sometimes all we can do is sigh. But the Bible says they groan. Now, you can't help but think about Romans 8, where there is groanings, the Bible says, of the Holy Spirit that cannot be uttered. See, there's a place in prayer that we can come to where that all of a sudden we shift from just telling God what we want and begin to carry his burden. And when you began to get into that, what we would call a place of travail, and groanings began to come out of the Spirit, now your spirit is speaking with the Spirit and through the Spirit. And what happens? The Bible says God remembers. God remembers. See, there are dimensions of prayer. We minimalize prayer. We say, well, prayer is this and this and this. Listen, prayer, when you really touch the depths of it, prayer, there can be deep groanings that your groanings, maybe even they're not intelligent, your groanings began to move something in the spirit world. Your groanings began to present cases before his courts that causes him to remember you and remember something concerning you. The groanings of God. See, I could take you over to Romans 8 and show you that the groanings of God, I would just drop this in, the groanings of God through us will actually produce the resurrection from the dead. See, we think, well, the resurrection from the dead is just going to be this sovereign thing that God just does. And yes, it will be. But I think everything God does, he's going to give birth through his church. Even end time things will happen because of the church moving into a realm of prayer that begins to move things into divine. So that nations began to be shook with the glory of God because of the groanings of God's people. Because God remembers. God remembers. Now, so what do we call God into remembrance about? He said, put me in remembrance. How do we do that? Let me give you four things here in the minutes I have left. Number one, we remind him of what is in his book concerning us. Psalms 139:16. I love this scripture. It says, your eyes saw. Everybody say saw. It says, God saw something. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Before it ever existed, God saw it. So why do you exist? Because God saw you before you existed. God saw your substance yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. God saw my substance and he saw my days before they ever existed. I mean, this is a significant thing. And it says that what he saw, he wrote it down in a book. So every one of us has a book in heaven that has our prophetic reason for existing in the earth. So here's what you need to know. It is your and my responsibility to prophetically discern what's written in that book. Because when I prophetically discern what's written in the book of heaven about me, then I know what my reason for being alive in the planet is. So what do I do when I know that? I then call God into remembrance. The Bible says, put me in remembrance. I say to him, Lord, you wrote in my book years ago, you wrote in the book of heaven about me that I would disciple nations. I ask you, Lord, let me disciple nations. Why do I do that? Because, listen, because of what was written in my book. I began to ask God for the very thing he wrote in his book, because that's my prophetic destiny in the earth. And when I do that, I put him in remembrance. I call him to remembrance about what he said about me. About, see, we're all supposed to do this. Hey, listen, we're supposed to do that. You're supposed to do that about San Jose. You're supposed to say, God, you wrote this. You wrote something in the book about San Jose. We ask that we want San Jose to be what you wrote in your book, not what it is. Now, I'm not saying it's in, but I'm just saying anything that's not in the book. We want what's in the book about it. And you begin to present that, and it causes God to remember San Jose, because someone he regards and he will move in behalf of, watch this, he will move because they ask. Because they ask. It's so important that we get that. It's that God will give you a place before him that lets you ask, not just for yourself, but even for cities, states, and nations. Number two, we remind him of his covenant with us. Daniel, when he began to pray in Daniel 9:4, he said, "And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments." Watch what he said. Daniel, when he began to pray, and he was actually praying for Israel to come out of captivity and back into their land. How did he begin? He began by this, reminding God of his covenant. You see, if we are going to be remembered by God, here's what we do. We come before him and we say, God, we thank you that you're a covenant-keeping God, and we remind you of the covenant we have with you. We remind you of the covenant we have with you by the blood of Jesus. How many of you know that's exactly what we were just doing when we received communion? See, not only were we remembering, we were reminding God as well. We were saying, God, we remember the covenant we have. And on the basis of this covenant that we have with you, we thank you that we have healing attached to this covenant. We're reminding you, Lord, of what you said you would do based on the covenant of God. We are reminding you. See, you can boldly come before God. Listen, when you understand covenant, you can boldly come before God and remind him of the promises connected to the covenant. And say, God, I am not asking this because I'm worthy. I'm not asking this because I always have done what's right. I'm asking this because you're a covenant-keeping God. I'm asking you to remember me. See, once you get that, all of a sudden you understand you can come boldly to his throne of grace. Because it's not about how worthy I feel or how worthy I might be. It's about his covenant-keeping nature. That he says, tell me, remind me of my covenant. It'll cause me to remember you and begin to move in your behalf. Lord, you said part of the covenant is that me and my household shall be saved. I remind you, Lord, of what you said, that my family shall be saved, that my children will serve the Lord. I'm asking, Lord, that you would move everything that's working against them, every demonic force, every godless agent blinding their eyes. I'm asking you, Lord, to remember me and to move in behalf of me and my children and my family and cause divine order to come, because you promised in your word, connected to your covenant, that me and my family will be saved. You can pray bold prayers. You should pray bold prayers. Covenant empowers you to do that, and it causes God to remember us. Number three, we remind him of our heart for his house. Nehemiah 13, verse 14. Remember me, O my God. Now watch what Nehemiah said concerning this, and do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for its services. Wow, Nehemiah, he had made sacrifices so that the house of God could prosper and could come back into divine order as Israel was being rebuilt. And watch what he says. He says, God, remember me for the sacrifices I have made so that your house can function and exist. See, you got to understand how much God treasures his house. And anybody that will serve in the house, finance the house, honor the house, love the house, watch this. Anybody that will do that, they will, I promise you, they will be remembered by God. They will be remembered by God. You can actually come before God as Nehemiah did and said, God, remember me for what I've done for your house. For what I've done for your house. And God says he will do that. He said that it won't be wiped out. Now, let me give you an example. Luke 7, verses 2 through 6. There's a centurion soldier who had no drawing rights because he's a Gentile in the days of Jesus. Jesus came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He had no right to appeal. So the elders came to Jesus and said to him, this centurion soldier has a servant that's sick. And then he says this. He said, he loves our nation and he has built your people a synagogue, a house. And Jesus said, I will go. See, in other words, Jesus remembered a centurion soldier. Now, he was not supposed to be ministering to the Gentiles. Remember the Syrophoenician woman that wanted her daughter healed? He wouldn't do it. Why? Because the time of the Gentiles had not come. He had only been sent out of the protocol of heaven. He had to minister to the Jews first. The only in Acts chapter 10, when Peter went to Cornelius' house, did a portal open and the Holy Spirit come fully on the Gentile nations. Up until that point, it was mostly just only the Jews, only the Jews, only the Jews. Why? Because it wasn't time for the Gentiles. Watch. This man got something before his time. Why? Because he had built God a house. And because he built him a house, Jesus regarded him, remembered him, and moved in his behalf. I promise you, I've watched it for years. I'm 60 years old now. I promise you, whoever builds God a house, whoever puts God's house ahead of their house, whoever does that, God remembers them. God remembers them. He moves in their behalf. And when I'm talking about moving in your, I'm not just talking about the structure you're living in, even though that applies. I'm talking about your lineage for generations to come. You can boldly come and say, God, I remembered your house. And I'm asking that because I remembered your house, you, Lord, would remember my house. That my house will be remembered before. And that your name will be glorified in my house because I remembered your house. God says, I'll do that. Number four, the last one. We can remind him of our suffering for his namesake. Now, unless you disqualify yourself from this, you need to understand, according to 1 Peter 4, every time I say no to sin and resist my flesh, I'm suffering. I suffer in the flesh. See, so there are people that suffer and are martyred and all these kind of things. But any sacrifice you make for him and for his name, any sacrifice you make, it will cause God to remember you. And it's right for us to say before him, God, remember what I've suffered for your name's sake. Let me very quickly show you this. Psalms 13, verse 1. David said, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Anybody ever felt like they were forgotten by God? David did. He said, how long will you hide your face from me? David didn't feel like God was paying attention to him. How long shall I take counsel in my soul? In other words, I'm examining myself and having sorrow in my heart daily. How long will my enemies be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I prevailed against them. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Notice what David's saying. He's saying, God, don't forget me. I feel forgotten. I need for you to remember. My enemy is fighting against me. I'm being persecuted. I'm suffering. I'm suffering unrighteously. Will you not take knowledge of this, God? Will you not know that? Anybody ever felt that way? I felt that way. Listen, I know what that feels like. I said in the early service, I became aware that God must not be as angry with people as I was because he didn't kill them. Because of the things we were going through as a result of some of the things that were being done by people. Watch this. But see, I found out there's justice in God. I found out that the very thing I thought God wasn't seeing, he was seeing. Now watch this. And it wasn't that he was going to do something to them. It was that he was going to do something for me based on what they had done against me. That my sufferings, my sacrifice, the things that I had gone through, that they were literally speaking before God, causing him to remember me. Let me give you an example of this. 2 Samuel 16:12, as I close. David is running from Absalom because he's taken his throne. As he's running, a guy named Shimei comes out throwing rocks, kicking up dust, and cursing David. David's chief army guy says, let me just go. It'll only take me one blow. I'll take his head off. And David says, no, leave him alone. If God commanded him to curse, let him curse. Now watch what David says. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. In other words, David said, look, let him curse because I recognize that what he's doing right now at this moment, God is taking knowledge of it. It will cause him to remember me and repay me with good. So watch, one of the things you can do, you can come before the Lord and you can say, Lord, as far as I know, my heart is right. And I am asking that you remember that which was done against me. And I'm asking on the basis of that which was done that you would remember me. And that you would bless me with good. And repay me with good. This is what I say. I say, Lord, I'm not asking you to do anything to them. They're your people. You do whatever you want to do with them. But I say, Lord, I ask for blessing to come on my life. Remember me, O God. For good. Amen? Would you stand with me today? I want to pray real quickly for us. Father, I pray right now today that you would remember us. That you would teach us to pray prayers that causes you to remember us. Lord, that we would be remembered. Lord, that every sense that we are forgotten would itself melt away. And we would be aware that we are known by you and that you love us and that you care for us. And I hear this, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That every tongue that rises in judgment, I say it shall be condemned. For this is our heritage as the servants of the Lord. And Lord, our righteousness, our right to stand before you is of you. So I thank you this morning. This afternoon, I thank you right now that you remember us. That we are known before you. I thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name. Let this house and all the other locations and campuses, I would ask, Lord, that you would let a new grace of prayer come. Like never before. There would be breakthroughs unparalleled this year, 2019, for the people of Gateway City Church. I thank you for doing this. I ask that your name, Lord, be glorified greatly in this people and in this house, and that the name of the Lord will receive much honor from this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Would you just give the Lord a big praise as Pastor David comes?
You can be seated. Thank you. Robert, I appreciate that. I want to say thank you. I Robert's going to catch a flight. He and his son, Mark, they're going to be here for just a few minutes. So, but when it's time for them to go, I know you might, some people might want to talk to him, but he has a flight to catch. So he's not being rude. He just wants to get home. I was telling Robert earlier, when I was a little boy, we used to go to Church of the Crossroads in Castro Valley, California, and my dad would give me his envelope, his giving envelope, on Sunday, and there was a missionary that he supported. He would give his tithe to his church, but that church then would forward his missionary offering to this missionary. It wasn't a regular missionary that that church supported, but he was a personal friend. So that's why he would want me to take it, not put it in the offering, but take it to the business office and make sure that this missionary got his portion of it. And I did that, I don't know, probably 50 times, maybe more. I can't remember. And when my dad, 1 year ago, had a massive stroke, and they put him on the operating table, and then I talked personally to the surgeon, and he said, your father's very old, and he said, I'm nervous to do this surgery, because to do this surgery, I have to raise his blood pressure just to do the procedure, and that might kill him. He may die in the procedure. And I began to pray for my father, and I said, Lord, would you remember your servant Dan? Remember those gifts that he gave to you, how he supported your house, how he supported missions. And remember, see, we're talking about prayer this month. We're talking about prayer because I want every one of you to be a black belt in prayer. Hallelujah. Strong in prayer. And so we're learning the technologies of prayer that we can come before God, and when we're praying for somebody else or a nation or a city or our church or whatever, say, Lord, remember the righteous works of this man. Remember what he's done, and then believe God. My father came out of that surgery completely, totally restored. He's strong today. He's 89, coming up on his 89th birthday. He's still kicking and still cracking corny jokes and still tithing and supporting the work of the Lord. Come on. Come on. We're going to sow into the house of God today. We're going to bless Apostle Robert. And the ushers are going to come. I just want to say thank you for your very great faithfulness. Those of you that are tithing, honoring the Lord, helping us with the work of the ministry. This means so much. We have so much to do. And I want to just encourage you to be a part of this prayer emphasis this month. This Saturday, if you didn't notice in the video announcements, this Saturday at 8, or really at 6 o'clock, the doors open here on Saturday morning. We have all church prayer. I encourage you to come. That's pretty much rain or shine, 52 weeks a year. We cancel maybe twice a year for a holiday or something, but we have an all-church prayer meeting. Come and visit that prayer meeting. See if that's an experience that would stir your heart, and I encourage you to be a part of that. Then this Saturday, a special prayer school with Mary Alice Islip. She's going to teach and activate and impart. She's written a best-selling book, Effective Fervent Prayers, and so... We're bringing the best teachers in America to teach on prayer. So show up if you can be here for these events. And then don't forget January 18th and 19th, the surge, as we switch from 2018 to 2019. January 18 and 19, we're going to have a 24-hour prayer blast, a prayer surge. And I believe God is going to do awesome, incredible things. We're going to have, next Sunday, we'll have up here a wall of faith and a wall of prayer. You're going to be able to attach your prayer needs and your burdens and also your praise reports, what God has done. And we're going to be praying all through the month of January over all our prayer needs, and I'm expecting breakthrough. Amen. So thank you, ushers. You're being served now. I didn't get to put mine in. Kathy, would you get that over there? Kathy and I are sowing into, I'm kind of talking instead of us singing. But you do sound good, Daniel. I do appreciate that. Kathy and I are sowing. This is the first Sunday of the year. We held hands together this morning and we prayed over a gift that we're sowing in to to set the course for some things we're believing for this year. I'm believing for you. I'm believing for the power of God, the life of God, to rest so strongly on you. Would you stand to me? We're going to go ahead and speak a prayer of blessing, dismissal on you. How many enjoyed this service this morning? Amen. We've got a lot of work to do, and we're going to need the Holy Spirit to do it. So would you just lift your hands to Him as I bless you? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I praise you for your power. I praise you that we can experience everything that Jesus came to bring us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I declare and decree grace over your people right now. Grace that breaks the yoke. Anointing that breaks the yoke. Grace that finishes the job. Raising the capstones of our future, Lord. Do it, Lord, by your great grace and power. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Our prayer teams are going to come. Prayer teams, go ahead and sing for a few minutes. The prayer teams are going to come as we dismiss. If you need prayer today, if you need someone to connect with, our prayer teams are going to be here. Let's go out rejoicing and celebrating.